live on WNSR.
Welcome back. We're in the Strike and Spare Families Fun Center Studios. JB and the General. General Patton still trying to work out his microphone issues so he doesn't sound like a robot or 2001 Space Odyssey. So, sorry, Patton. But we are pleased to be joined by the new Tennessee State men's hockey coach, Dante Abercrombie, in studio. Dante, welcome to WNSR. Welcome to Nashville. Welcome to Tennessee State. It is an honor to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. This is an absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thanks for the hospitality. It's a wonderful setup you all have here.
It's not too bad, right?
This is pretty sick.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can, you know, worst comes to worst, I can crash here overnight, or, you know, we got the kitchen set up, you know, we can fix you some breakfast if you want. You
or know? Or right in the middle of pronouncing Abercrombie, because I heard you when you were saying
it
the first time.
As soon as I said it.
That pause was all those letters that my mom and my ancestors, I guess, threw up against the wall and said, Abercrombie's going to be what it is. And
well, see,
absolute brain pretzel.
Growing up as a kid, right, watching the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a running back named Walter Abercrombie.
Yes, they did.
You remember him?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't remember him, but I've seen the names.
You're a little young. So it's Abercrombie or Abercrombie?
Abercrombie.
Abercrombie. Dante Abercrombie.
That's it.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, you know, like I always say, somebody's got to be first. How does it feel to be the first head coach of a men's hockey program at an HBCU?
Well, honestly, just growing up, this was something that I've always wanted, not necessarily to be the first, but just for this opportunity to happen, for an HBCU to say that hockey's at a point where we see that this matters for our community. And then that's what Tennessee State has decided to do, and they added hockey, and I just happened to be available. I happened to be at home with my family after my year with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Nick called me, and this was something that I absolutely wanted to do, and I wanted to see done the right way. So honestly, if not me, then who? So that was the way I felt about it, and that's why I jumped in full force.
Amazing. What was your experience like in Toronto with the Maple Leafs? It had been incredible because they're an Original Six team. I used to live in Buffalo. I know how big the Maple Leafs are to Toronto. They're kind of like the Yankees here in the United States. I mean, they are a big-time, you know, well-known organization.
It's nothing like getting to see it from the inside, like being a part of all the conversations, being a part of all the decisions that have to be made. You can assume what happens from the outside, but once you're sitting in the room and you're sitting at the table – and you hear the words that go back and forth, and you understand the pressure that is Toronto. A lot of it is just external pressure. When you walk in every single day, it's a typical team. It's a typical locker room. To be able to operate and execute in that pressure situation, I feel as though I can accomplish anything in the sporting world that gets put in front of me.
Now, you're from Washington, D.C. originally, correct?
Born and raised in Washington, D.C., Chocolate City, as they call it.
Yeah. I have two sisters that live in the DMV area, so I made a lot of trips there. So were you just a hockey fan right from Jump Street? I mean, how did hockey become such a big part of your life?
Well, that honestly came from my mom. She was a teenage mother, so she had me when she was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't want her sons to end up in the streets. She didn't want the streets to claim her children. So she put us in non-traditional sports. She put us in gymnastics. She put us in violin. She put us in swimming just so that we got out of our neighborhood. My family did a great job of raising us the right way. But the moment you leave your house, you never know what you can be taught by the street. So she said, instead of allowing you to just walk around the neighborhood, I'm going to take you to neighborhoods and places where I want you to be exposed to a different way of living. And one of those opportunities was just learning how to skate. It happened to be right in the middle of the hood. Literally, people have been robbed right outside of Fort DuPont. They have a security gate that used to be right outside, fully armed security and police outside. But that's where I fell in love with the game. It started with the learn to skate with toe picks and trying to just turn on the ice. Got off the ice, took my skates off, saw a hockey game, and fell in love immediately. I said, Mom, I want to do that. She went over, signed me up, and rest is history.
That's amazing. So were you a Capitals fan growing up?
Born and raised a Cavs fan, absolutely. And honestly, that's because Ted Leonsis and everybody that's been involved with the Capitals, they did a really good job of getting into the community and trying to grow the game the right way.
Much like the Predators do here, I'm sure you've noticed.
Absolutely, and that's what really intrigued me about coming to Nashville. Sean Henry and everybody at the Predators.
Oh, he's great. Friend of the show, Sean Henry. Shout out, Sean.
Oh, Sean's an amazing individual. We sat and we had lunch. We've kept in touch over text. Dan Hynote is a friend of mine. Obviously, we had Luke Shin and Ryan O'Reilly in Toronto. So this feels like almost like a coming home. Mm-hmm. There's people here that I know. There's people here that I respect. And there's people here that honestly live life the right way. And they've all said they want to get back into the community. And that's the honestly the first key for Tennessee State University hockey is getting out in the community. I don't want to be a coach, and I don't want my players to be people that sit in a room and expect people to just come to us. We need to be out. We need to represent our community. Honestly, that's the way you should be living your life anyway, as service. So that's also something that I want to bring to Nashville.
Now, what position were you? Were you a forward or defenseman? Or
I was everything. I wanted to play goalie. I was actually just talking to my mom last night because my son did a great job, and he's only 6 years old.
So right.
Take this with a grain of salt. He did a great job in his soccer game. The kids all excited, and you can see him just all into the game as a goalie. He got scored on once in the game.
Okay.
And then my mom is sitting right there, and I'm like, and I'm looking at my son Patrick, and I'm like, you know what? I have no problem with you being a goalie, because when I was a child, I wanted to be a goalie.
Mm-hmm.
But this one here, speaking about my mom, said you're too good at putting pucks in the back of the net, so she never let me really try it, even when my school was going to pay for my equipment. But yeah, I grew up playing forward. I grew up as a natural center. When I wanted to try to break into pro hockey in any way that I could, not necessarily to scratch the itch of playing pro, but because I knew that playing professional hockey unlocks doors, unlocks networks that I didn't have as a child growing up, and then I could use that platform to go back and help. But I actually broke in as a defenseman.
Wow. So amazing because, you know, when P.K. Subban was here, I know he's Canadian, but, man, he was just so much fun to interview, to be around, you know. PK's that dude, man.
PK's phenomenal, man. Actually, we have a connection. So Patrice Alexander is actually PK's barber in Toronto. And he used to fly him around, come into Nashville. Roman Yossi, everybody uses his product. Shout out to Patrice Alexander. He's actually going to be our barber supplier. So all of our shampoos and everything that we want to use for our players. This is something we've been discussing behind the scenes. He's actually the first Black-owned to own, or not to to own, but to sponsor an athlete. Jose Altidore, the soccer player, is one of his athletes that he has. So
Sloan Stevens' husband, correct?
I don't know the details of what happens in his home, but I do know the sport that he plays.
So what's the process been like for you? You got hired obviously back in the winter. What's been the process of like putting this team together, you know, implementing your program, your system, recruiting players, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, having this as a dream of mine for years, I already had an idea of what I would like to see if anybody ever did this. And that's from afar, not knowing that I would be a part of it. The further I got in my career, I knew that I'd be privy to at least the conversations about building it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm actually sitting in the seat, the first thing, like I said, is the community. So talking to all of our alumni, getting out there and speaking, I've already connected with our alumni in the DMV. Shout out to everybody that's helping to support there. Debbie Howard runs our alumni relations at the school. She's been absolutely phenomenal. I haven't gotten a chance to sit down with our band director yet, but that's what and this is kind of our slogan, Hockey Our Way. I want the HBCU hockey experience to be a true HBCU experience. I don't want to take traditional NCAA hockey and put it on Tennessee State University's campus. I want to bring the sport of hockey to the campus, but I want it to be done the way that we want to do it.
Right.
We're not going to be told this is how it is. And I really don't even know how it's going to evolve and how it's going to be done on our campus. But I do know the band absolutely needs to be there. However I can get them there, whatever support, because I need the tubas blaring. I need talking out the side of your neck. I need this to be an experience. Like, this is something hockey has never seen in this way or in this fashion. And I think it's only going to help the game not only grow in the collegiate space, but it's also going to grow the game across the world.
Yeah. Amazing. What style of hockey do you want to play? Are you up tempo?
You can kind of tell by the way I speak.
You
the way
got a
I'm,
lot of energy.
Yeah, I'm leaned in. That actually came from the Just Love Coffee. We just stopped off over at Just Love on the way in.
Listen, Keith Bullock is one of the co-owners who Patton and I do a podcast with him every week. So shout out to Keith Bullock. And
I just shouted him out on my Instagram. I said he fueled my morning because it's working. I haven't blinked in 2 hours. But yeah, that's what I want for our team. I want us to be high tempo, have a ton of pace, have a ton of character, have something about the way we play. We have to represent HBCUs the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So having players, honestly, that have gone through some type of adversity, have dealt with something in their life, or even if they haven't, are open to being challenged. I don't want anybody that hasn't gone through something or wants everything to be easy. You're not for us. Not saying that you're not for top level collegiate hockey. Not saying you're a bad hockey player. Mm-hmm. You're just not for us. So yes, definitely high pace. Look at obviously the way that the best teams in the world play right now. That's exactly the way we want.
Well,
to
the
play.
Predators have kind of changed their style, right?
Absolutely.
Now that Trotsky is the GM and Bruno is the head coach, it's kind of like you know, let's attack, let's get pucks to the net. You know, taking a guy like Roman Josi, who's a phenomenal all world defenseman, and basically saying, you know, get the puck to the forwards and then join the rush.
Absolutely.
And let's get some speed through the neutral zone and let's create havoc in the offensive zone. I mean, is that kind of similar to how you want to play?
Oh, absolutely. If you want to talk structure-wise, I don't need a defenseman that's your typical defenseman. I don't need you glued to the blues, which means I don't need you glued to your goalie in the crease. We already have a goalie. Why do we need another one? Go support in the corner and help us win those battles. And then the moment we're going up the ice, I need everybody in the rush. I need you up the ice. Same thing in the O zone. I don't need you attached to the blues. Get your heels off the blue line and let's get active in the play. A lot of teams, especially what I've seen in the collegiate space and in the junior space, they don't know how to handle that because they're coming fresh out of youth hockey. They've been trained to be a typical defenseman or a typical forward. No, I need everybody, one, knowing everybody's jobs, but I need everybody also knowing what it is we're trying to accomplish. We want to get off the yellows, which means get off the wall,
right?
And we want to get to the middle of the ice. We want to own the middle in the D zone, own the middle in the neutral zone, own the middle in the offensive zone, and everybody gets to have smiles on their face when we put pucks in the net. So that's that's the way I expect us to play.
Yeah, and the crowd will like that, right? With, you know, if there's high scoring games, obviously that'll get the crowd going as well. And you talked about the band and the HBCU experience and all that. I mean, I think it's going to be fascinating once this thing gets up and rolling. Have you thought about, like, obviously you have, what you want the game day experience to be like? I know you kind of touched on it earlier.
I want it your typical HBCU tailgate. I want the Divine Nine. I want our alumni coming out. I want to see you dressed in your best nailia that you can find coming to support us. But it's not just the HBCU side of it.
Yeah.
I want the community, like everybody in the Nashville community, to feel as though this is their team, because it truly is. It's a state institution. This is something that a lot of people's tax dollars go towards to support. We are ours, meaning the people of Nashville, our community. We are our team. So I want you to come out and support. I want you to know that we're going to see you in the grocery store and we're going to say, hey, you're going to see us in the grocery store.
Right.
And we want you to come say, hey. So I want everybody to be able to come out and support, because it's going to be an event. It's not just going to be a hockey game. There's going to be an event and a hockey game is going to happen. That's a tailgate before you have the game. There's probably going to be some post game stuff happening as well, knowing the Nashville folk the way I do.
What's been the buzz on campus?
The buzz has been great. Everybody is super supportive, from our athletic department, from the students that I got a chance to see when I was actually interviewing. Obviously, everybody has gone home at this point in time.
Right.
But my major touch point has been the alumni, because who to speak to? If you can't speak to the students, you speak to the most recent students, which are the alumni. Some are not as recent as others, some being the golden vintagers. That's the people that graduated 50 plus years ago.
I can just picture Ed Tuttle Jones dropping the ceremonial first puck, you know, or something.
Exactly. Like right in the middle of the ice.
Or DRC, all right? Or whoever, right?
I was going to say that the list goes Rob on Covington, and on and on and on. So you might have to have 10 people up there and you have 10 pucks. And you drop it for all 10 players that are going to be on the ice. There is the beauty of this is it's unknown. So we get to build it. We get to try. We get to succeed. We get to fail. We get to learn. We get to try something else. That's why this matters to the sporting world, but just to the world in general. It's a PhD in marketing is exactly what this is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dante Abercrombie, the new Tennessee State men's hockey coach, is joining us here in studio. So what kind of coach are you? Are you a yeller or screamer? You're obviously a high-energy guy. I can tell right now.
Well, if you really watch on the bench, once we get into game, my job is done.
Yeah.
You have to let the players go play. Your job is to prepare them throughout the week, have them understand what it is that we need to do, prep them on what it is that the opposition does and how we need to take advantage of certain areas that they may have that may be a little bit more glaringly advantageous for us to be able to attack versus – others. And then once we get into the game, let them flow, let them do their thing, because this is still a preparatory level for professional hockey players. You spoke to the type of player that I want. Everybody I want to have the desire to play professional hockey. And the reason for that is if your goal is professional hockey, I'm not saying that you're absolutely going to get there, but you show up a little bit earlier. You give a little bit more in the gym. You give a little bit more in your class because you want to stay eligible. You do more throughout your day. That's going to get you a little bit further than somebody says, hey, I've gotten to college. I'm going to ride these 4 years out and I'm done and I'm going to step into something else. I want people that want to be professionals.
Is it kind of your dream to see the NHL more integrated? I mean, I think they've done a really nice job of being more inclusive, especially since 2020 with everything that happened with social justice and stuff like that and the pandemic. I know that they've seemed to have really made it a point to say, hey, hockey is for everybody. We want everybody, no matter what your background is, to enjoy the sport. I've been covering hockey, geez, since the late 90s. You know, I worked in Buffalo, then I worked in Pittsburgh. Now I work here in Nashville. So, you know, I've covered, you know, Stanley Cup finals and God knows how many NHL playoff games. It's great, especially this time of year with the playoffs. I mean, is that kind of, do you want to be one of those people that can help integrate the NHL a little bit more with professional hockey players of color?
Absolutely. This is one of those things in the course of history, especially when you talk about America, you just talk about the past couple of decades. There's two big moments that stand out in my mind. You talk about September 11th, and I don't mean to turn this a different direction, but this is coming back. September 11th, and then you talk about George Floyd. These are terrible incidents that happen in our country, but you get to see what your country is truly made of. You get to see what your neighbor, and honestly yourself, is really made of. And everybody came together as a country and as a people, 9/11, and same thing happened with George Floyd. I was hired at the Toronto Maple Leafs solely because Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan looked around the room and said, we don't directly resemble what's happening in the youth hockey space, and we don't directly resemble what's happening in Toronto with regards to diversity and the international feel of the city. Not even the feel, the international fact of the city. So they hired and they intentionally brought people in because they saw that this needed to change. That's all that this is. It's just opening people's eyes that honestly are not BIPOC and saying this needs to change. We need to move in a direction. But I talk to my kids and I talk to my people, like either players that I'm talking to or coaches, about taking care of the mantle that you're currently on, because somebody's watching you and somebody wants to be you someday. But there's also somebody on a higher mantle or on a higher ledge that's looking at you and saying, hey, are they ready to be brought up? Or, hey, do we need to create more mantles so that we can put more people in places to be seen? And that's what's happening. Gary Bettman's done an amazing job with the National Hockey League. Kim Davis has done a great job championing everything that it is that we're trying to do. Jeff Scott and Kevin Westgarth behind the scenes have been doing phenomenal work supporting Tennessee State University hockey. But it is up to us. It is up to myself. It's up to Nick. It's up to Mickey Allen. It's up to Dusty Bennett. It's up to everybody at Tennessee State University to take this opportunity and make sure that we do right by the millions and millions of people that are going to be affected by us doing this the right way.
Amazing. Up against the break. Can you hang for another segment?
Absolutely.
All right. More with Dante Abercrombie. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Stick around, WNSR.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, then Great News. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling.
I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-617-0239. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-617-0239. That's 800-617-0239. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, serving Middle Tennessee. For all of your roofing, siding, window, door, and exterior needs, give the pros a call today at 615-635-1790. 615-635-1790. That's Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC. AJ and the staff are professionals who care.
It's a Bill King Show.
If I ever told you my disdain for spring games, they are useless, they are irrelevant, they are not representative of a real college football game, nor does it tell you what you need to be looking out for once your team gets on the field for fall games that do count, that do go in the record books, and do mean something.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. Broadcasting live from the Strike and Spare studio, it's JB and the General.
I gotta say, it's a good day because we're hanging out with Dante Abercrombie.
I'm sitting here.
Yeah, man. That'll take you back. Tennessee State men's hockey coach. Great to have you here. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing men's hockey at Tennessee State. I think it's going to be great and something innovative. And it's about time. You know, I mean, I'll put it that way. It's about freaking time. And like I said, I haven't covered hockey my whole career. You know, I've grown to really love the sport again, especially this time of year with the playoffs because, you know, it's hard hitting. There's not a lot of penalties called. You know what I mean? Guys are just playing. And, so, you know, I covered a couple of, Preds, playoff games this year and it was great to see that old Bridgestone Arena atmosphere back because, I'm going to tell you, Dante, in 2017, when they made their run to the cup, it was, the city was absolutely berserk. I mean, there were just people everywhere. Everywhere you went, there was a navy blue and gold jersey and people really got caught up into it. And to your point that you were saying earlier before we went to break, you talk about bringing a city and bringing people together. It didn't matter what your background was. It didn't matter who you voted for or anything like that. We were all in this. I mean, you know, me more from a business standpoint, but this city just got caught up in that wave. I'm sure you saw probably watching some of the footage on TV. It was amazing to be here for that run.
Smashville is one of the greatest slogans that I've ever seen come out of the hockey space, but it's real. It organically just happened because the city took to it. And I think there was even a point where the NHL was reconsidering or people were reconsidering whether Nashville would work. Mm-hmm. You just need to have the right people in place that truly represent what it is that whatever city you're in, whether it's Nashville, whether it's maybe even Atlanta or Houston or Salt Lake City, Utah, Toronto even, you have to have something that speaks to the community. And then they will come out and they support. They don't care if you get blown out 8-0. As long as you are supporting them in the community and you're playing passionately for the city or for the logo and it's not about you. And that's what I keep telling people. It's not about Tennessee State University hockey. It's absolutely not about Dante Abercrombie. I just happen to be the only voice publicly right now that is speaking for Tennessee State University hockey. Obviously, Nick did a great job of championing us for the months that he had to go out there and really hit the road to spread the knowledge of what it is that we were trying to do. But this is bigger than us. This is representation at its best. This is what happens when you show people what is tangible, like what can actually be achieved. Because I remember growing up, you know, no big shout out to University of Michigan, but I really wanted to go to University of Michigan as a hockey player. Coming from a non-traditional market,
sure.
I didn't know the way to get there. I just saw them in a USA Hockey magazine and said, oh, those helmets are sick. I would love to wear one of those someday.
Yeah.
And that's what allowed me to fall in love with University of Michigan and the Wolverines and everything they had to do. And shout out to Brandon Arado. He's been nothing but overly accommodating for everything, all the conversations we've been having offline about you know, what could happen
sure.
in the future.
Sure.
But I don't know, it's just something about Tennessee State University hockey. Imagine being 5 years old. Imagine young Dante sitting down mm-hmm. and seeing this on TV, seeing this on social media. Everybody that says that you can't achieve in this sport, you're an absolute liar. Because guess I just saw it. I see Tennessee State University.
You,
I see myself.
You are it. You're living it.
Exactly. And that's so powerful. Because there's so many dreams that are, and I talk about the Malcolms and the Martins and mm-hmm. Maya Angelou, and like you literally go down the list of people who were told no.
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie
whoever.
Robinson. Yeah. But imagine the dozens or hundreds of Jackies before Jackie mm-hmm. that stopped right before they got there because they said, you know what, there's nobody there. There's no way they're going to let us in. But then Jackie gets there, and now you see individuals that come behind, and now, you know, nowadays it's, you see everybody. I actually give a really good shout out to our video coach, Sam Kim. He's a phenomenal individual in mm-hmm. Toronto. Mm-hmm. And he did a presentation for the coaches and for the management and everybody there. And one thing that he talked about was when Ichiro first came into baseball. The narrative was always Ichiro, where he's from. Ichiro,
right.
from this place.
Right.
The blank Ichiro. Like where he was from was always included in his name.
Mm-hmm.
But now you look at Shohei. It's just Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
There is no, he's from this place, he's from that place. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are Tennessee State University, first HBCU to have hockey.
Right.
But the moment that everybody else jumps on board, the moment that this is now, quote unquote, normalized, it was because of what we did here at Tennessee State that everybody else no longer has to worry about being labeled why they were able to make it in, where they came from, and all this other stuff. No, you're just a part of the game. And
yeah.
that, and that's the beauty of integration, I guess you could say. That's mm-hmm. the beauty of opening this sport up to more people. And ultimately, it's going to lead to more success for the people that are involved, more dollars for the people that actually want to see this happen. And it's going to change lives. Like, honestly, that's what's going to happen. People's lives are going to be changed because Dr. Glover, Dr. Allen, and Tennessee State University said, we want to be first, and we want to make this happen.
Amazing. Who wins the Stanley Cup this year?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't. I just told Nick this last night. When we lost last year in the playoffs, I didn't watch until literally a minute before. And my wife told me this. She was like, "You're not even watching the playoffs." I was like, "It's really hard once you've won it to win it yourself, and you get so close, you feel like you have a chance." I always watch when the cup is lifted, so it doesn't really matter. I have people that I know on all teams and all different organizations.
Right.
I'm not trying to skirt the answer. It really is just I just want to see. One, somebody that hasn't won it get a chance to win it.
Yeah.
And I want to see a community, whether that's Boston, whether that's Vancouver, whether that's Edmonton, a community that you know, I'll even say Florida, even though they did what they did last year to us. like, I just want to see a community get, quote unquote, quenched. I want to see their thirst for a cup come to fruition.
There's
but
nothing like seeing a team win a championship and a city winning a championship for the first time.
It's just...
Like, I was happy for the Denver Nuggets last year. Obviously, they won Super Bowls with Elway, but, you know, to win an NBA championship for the first time, I mean, that's
well, so much good has to happen to get to that point. So, that's obviously, so when I get to my office, I'm going to have the NCAA championship on my wall. That's my goal, NCAA championship for myself, and the players are going to see NCAA championship when they walk in. Even though we have never even competed for the championship yet, you mm-hmm. know, some people put their trophy up after they win it. No. This is our goal. We're championship mindset every single day, every way that we do what it is that we do. That's how it is with the Stanley Cup. My goal in the course of my life, so before I'm put in the dirt, is to win Stanley Cups. Four Stanley Cups as a head coach, as a GM, as a president, and as an owner of an NHL franchise at each level. So you can do the math. That's a lot of Stanley Cups. But over the course of the next 60 years, hopefully I'm able to achieve that. But even if I'm not, the work that has to be done to even be close or even be relevant is the work that I want to do. So that I feel like no matter who wins this year, they had to do a lot of work. They had to have a lot of hard conversations and meetings. They had to do a lot of work in the community. Shout out to Jerry Burke with the Toronto Maple Leafs. As of last year, he's with San Jose as a scout this year. But he had to put together all of the outdoor events and the playoff, making sure that the fans were represented well outside of the arena. There's a lot of work that goes into that every level of the playoff. So whoever wins, congratulations. I just tell you this, it won't be me.
Well, I have no doubt that you will have success at Tennessee State and wherever your hockey journey takes you. It's an honor to meet you. It's an honor to have you in studio. And, you know, I'm an old G, so I'll say it. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you so much.
Success and good luck. And we're going to be there either on radio or TV over at News Channel 5. We're going to be there to chart your journey.
Yeah, and I can't wait to jump on your podcast, too.
Absolutely. You, me, and Patton, and Keith Bullock. We're going to have a blast.
Let's do it.
All right, my man. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Dante Abercrombie, Tennessee State men's hockey coach. Never thought I'd be saying that, but I'm glad I am. We're back after this, WNSR.